podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
As the rooster crowed, Peter wept bitterly. The crowing was a stark reminder that Peter had done exactly what he had set out not to do. Earlier, he had proclaimed boldly to Jesus, "Even if all fail away on account of you, I never will." And yet, now the rooster has crowed, and Peter finds himself falling away, just as Jesus had told him and the disciples earlier. We have all come to find ourselves in these moments. We've all set out to do good and come up short. In one way or another, we have all heard the rooster crow and realized that we had not accomplished the good we had planned. Maybe it was an hour that we planned to get in some exercise, but you found yourself in front of the TV. Maybe it was a night you wanted to dive into the Word, but you found yourself scrolling on social media. Or even a whole month that you said you were going to work on your finances, but now the bills are here and the rooster's crowing. But Jesus didn't leave Peter in that fallen state. Later, Jesus would say, "Come on, Peter, I didn't go to the cross to make you feel defeated. I went to the cross to win the victory over death and sin. I went to the cross so you could start over when you fall. I went to the cross so you would have a clean slate and try to do better." Jesus went to that cross, not just so Peter could be restored, but for each one of us to be restored when we don't quite make the goal. And so, we don't forget the sacrifice that Jesus made to clean our slate. He invites us around this table of remembrance. Yes, the rooster's crowed for each of us, and yes, it can be a reminder where we have fallen short. But the rooster's crowing also lets us know that the sun will be up soon and that it's a new day. And because we have a risen Lord who died for our sins, we can use this new day to feed his lambs and take care of his sheep. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to join around this table at your invitation. We're so thankful that you gave us these simple emblems so that we could remember the sacrifice that you made for us on Calvary. We ask that you be with each one of us as we take these emblems and as we remember that sacrifice. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is our second week in a three-week sermon series that we're doing on the 23rd Psalm. Last week, we read the Psalm together. And I want to begin this morning by reading the psalm again, but I don't want you to read it with me today. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes. Now, I don't usually say that during a sermon, but I want you to close your eyes just for a moment or two, and don't let anything distract you. I want you to just listen to the words of the psalm as I read them. So would you close your eyes now and just listen to the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Okay, open your eyes now. Come on, open them up. Aren't those words relaxing? Aren't those words comforting? Aren't those words reassuring? Max Lucado writes about the 23rd Psalm, and he says this: "Do more beloved words exist, framed and hung in hospital halls, scratched on prison walls, quoted by the young and the old, whispered by the dying? In these lines, sailors have found harbor, the frightened have found a father, and strugglers have found a friend." These are just helpful words. That's why we're going to spend 3 weeks looking at them. Last week, we talked about the fact that life is tough, but we have a God who cares. Today, we're going to notice that life is tough, But we have a God who guides. And next week, life is tough, but the best is yet to come. We're going to talk about the promise he makes us here about being in the Father's house, about being in heaven. But this morning, I want to begin by asking you a few questions. The first one is, who is your shepherd? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. God wanted to be David's shepherd, and David wanted the Lord to be his shepherd. And God wants to be our shepherd. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. He wants to help us. But he doesn't force us to make him our shepherd. He doesn't force us to be in his sheepfold. God gives us a choice. And some people say, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope you do. But there are some people who say, the Lord is not my shepherd. You know some people like that. They follow some other philosophy, maybe of another religious leader. They follow their own desires. God's not my shepherd. I'm going to do what I want to do. Or maybe they follow the crowd or they follow the world, but they have made this decision. I'm not part of God's flock. God is not going to guide me. He is not my shepherd. And then we have some people who say, the Lord is my shepherd sometimes. Now, not a lot of people say that out loud. Most people say the Lord is my shepherd, but what they really mean is the Lord is my shepherd sometimes. They say the Lord is my shepherd, but inwardly know that's not the case. They only follow the Lord as long as the Lord is leading them in the direction that they want to go. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, but a little affair won't hurt anything. I love my wife. I love my husband. I just need that extra affection every so often. But wait a second. The shepherd says, as recorded in Hebrews 13:4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed be kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, but a few lies won't hurt anything here or there. But wait a second. The shepherd says in Proverbs 6:17, the Lord hates a lying tongue. The Lord is my shepherd, but I don't want to go to church every Sunday. It's my only day off. It's a chance to get things done at the house. I like to travel. I like to relax. But wait a second. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God. You see, many people say the Lord is my shepherd, but they really mean the Lord is my shepherd sometimes. The Lord is my shepherd as long as he is leading me in the direction I want to go. When that's no longer the case, then I become both the sheep and the shepherd. Now here's the question. Why should I want the Lord to be my shepherd all the time? And the answer is because he is Lord. He knows what's best. He knows things that we don't know. You know, sheep aren't the smartest animals in the world. When you were young, did your mother ever say to you, hey, if your best friend jumped off a cliff or jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? And when she said that, you really wanted to say, yeah, Mom, yeah, I would. But you didn't, right? Because you knew you wouldn't. But sheep do. I read about this flock of sheep in Turkey. 400 of them, they just followed one right behind the other, and they walked off a cliff. They never stopped to think, is this smart? Is this a good thing to do? What's going to happen if I do this? They just followed. 400 walked off a cliff and died. 1,100 more fell, but they fell on a cushion. They didn't die. But sheep aren't smart. When it comes to God, we aren't smart. Isaiah 55, 8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Imagine a shepherd leading a sheep up a ramp and then down the ramp into a bath that kills parasites. This bath is for the sheep's benefit. They listen to the shepherd's voice, they follow, but when they enter into that bath and it stings their eyes and it smells and it's uncomfortable, they come up shaking the stuff off, and you have to wonder if the sheep is thinking, what's this all about? Why are you doing this to me? Why did you lead me here? Have you ever asked God that? What's this all about? You know, there are times I don't understand why God leads me in certain places. But he knows what he's doing because he is the Lord. And just like he's dipping these sheep in the bath that kills parasites and saves the sheep, sometimes we go through tough times and we don't understand why, but God knows why. Why should I let the Lord be my shepherd all the time? Because I can trust him. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I watched a repeat of Monk the other night. You ever watch Monk? Remember who he was? He was that detective who had some disorders. Everything had to be perfectly clean. Everything had to be in its place all the time. But he was a great detective. And they sent him in to watch over a cult leader that they thought killed someone. And when he got there, this cult leader was very persuasive. In fact, many intelligent people were following him and giving him money. And even Monk was persuaded by him and finally came around. But it was discovered this man did not kill anyone, but what he was doing, he was taking advantage of these people, even very intelligent people. They had given them all their money, and he invested it in properties in different countries, and he was getting ready to leave them. He pretended he cared for them. He didn't care for them. He was taking their money. He was going to leave them. He was really out for himself. But Jesus is never out for himself. He sacrificed himself for us. You can trust someone who does that. And why should I want the Lord to be my shepherd all the time? Because he will never lead me astray. 23rd Psalm says he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God leads me down the right path because it is best for me. He always does what is best for his sheep. It's not that he does what is best for his sheep. He does it because for his name's sake. You see, God can only lead me down the right path because it would be against his character, against his nature, to lead me purposely down the wrong path. I might not grasp why he's leading me a certain way. I might not like that he is leading me a certain way, but I can always count on the fact that he's leading me down the best path. Now remember, if you have only let the Lord lead sometimes and you find yourself in trouble, it could very well be because at that moment you decided to choose the path rather than letting God choose the path for you. God always leads us down the right path. So the important question now comes to us is, how does God lead me? Well, the basic way he leads me is through his word. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. Now it goes on. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But I want to stop here for a second. All scripture is God-breathed. That means that God is the source of scripture. That means the scripture comes from the mouth of God. That means that all the scripture is the word of God. A little boy bought his grandmother a Bible, a giant print Bible for her birthday. He was real excited about it. When his mom and dad gave him a Bible, they wrote something on the front cover. And it really meant something to him. So he wanted to write something on the front cover of his grandma's Bible. When you open the page, the very front page there, he wanted to write something for her. But he did not want to write the same thing that his mom and dad wrote in his Bible. And he remembered that somebody gave his dad a book. And every time his dad showed this book to somebody, he opened up the front cover and he showed the person what the person who gave it to him wrote. So he went and got that book from his dad's library and he copied in the Bible what that person wrote in the book. And you can imagine his grandmother's surprise when she opened that present on her birthday and the front cover said to grandma with compliments of the author. But listen, the Bible you hold in your hand today comes from the compliments of the author himself, God. And the passage goes on here in Timothy and says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is through God's word that God leads us to make right decisions, to go down the right paths, to live the right way. It is through his word that he equips us for life and he prepares us for life to come. In Psalm 19, the psalmist tells us that the words of God revive our soul, that they make us wise, that they give joy to our hearts and light to our eyes, that his guidance is more valuable than gold and sweeter than honey. And his words warn us if we listen. When we listen to what he says, we gain a great reward. Now, when you're studying the Bible, trying to find God's guidance, he leads you through his word. How does he lead you? Well, he leads you through, first of all, commands. When you have to make a decision, you want to find out what the Bible says about something. See if there's a commandment concerning it. If trying to think, oh, is it okay for me to go to this party and get a designated driver? Because I plan to go and get drunk. And I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to get someone to drive me home so nobody is hurt. Well, but you see, that's not the decision you really need to make here. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk. That's a pretty clear command. So the Bible guides me in making the right decision there. It's not a toss-up question. Should I go here and do this or do that? The Bible makes it clear. And there are a number of issues that God speaks clearly about with commands. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet. And there are many times that he tells us there are things that we should do. So if the Bible speaks with a command concerning an issue, I need to follow that command. God guides me through commands. He also guides me through principles. Now, principles speak on a wider issues than simply commands. Principles are like this. Go the second mile, Matthew 5:41. Do to others as you would have them do to you, Matthew 7:12. Do not cause anyone to stumble, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Abstain from every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And bear each other's burdens. These principles are more general than commands, but they can help us when we are making specific decisions. They guide us in the direction we ought to go. And there's another way God guides us, and that's through examples. We're told to follow the example of Christ. We're told to follow, Paul says, follow my example. We have the New Testament church that we can follow. So there are commands and principles and examples. The shepherd guides us through these means. But if we go to the Bible and we don't find a command, and we don't really find a principle, and we don't find an example, how do we make a decision? Does God still guide us? Well, yes, he does. But he gives us freedom. Freedom. You see, the Bible gives us a lot of freedom as long as we stay within the shepherd's boundaries. God says, I don't care if you buy a new car or a used car. I don't care if you buy a house or rent a house. If you fly or drive on your vacation, it's okay with me if you get married or stay single. I don't care if you go to college or if you decide not to go to college. I don't care if you take this job or not. It's up to you. Stay within my boundaries. You stay within my pasture, and you have the freedom to do what you want. Now, we only have freedom in making decisions when God doesn't give us a command or principle or an example. We do not have the freedom to make a sinful decision. We do not have the freedom to say, I'm going to sin. We have the freedom to make decisions when it's a decision about what's better or best, not what's right or wrong. God tells us what's right or wrong through his commands or principles or examples. But sometimes there are paths open to me, a number of paths I can take, and I need to decide which path is better or best. And God guides me when it comes to making these better or best decisions. Now, how does he guide me when it comes to freedom? How does he guide me in making these better or best? Not right or wrong, not sinful or not sinful, but these better or best decisions. Well, he guides me sometimes through an inner voice or feeling. James 1:6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I've talked to people who say, you know, I've been praying, and after I've been praying about something, I just felt that God said, yeah, you know, that's the way you ought to do it. I felt like God was leading me, like the Spirit was speaking to me. Some people tell me they actually hear God's voice. Now, I would not say that never happens. I certainly think it can, but that's not the normal way God guides us. He normally guides us simply through his word. And I would say this, if you ever have an inner voice, if you ever feel like God is speaking to you, or you feel like God is really leading you in this direction, okay, that's fine. Just make sure that that direction you're going in doesn't break any of God's commands or principles, or it's against an example that he sets. That inner voice, if it is God speaking to you, is only going to guide you in the areas where you have freedom to make a decision that is within God's boundaries. Your family is struggling financially, and you're thinking about stealing money from your company. You really believe you can get away with it. No one's going to notice. The company owes that to you. Anyhow, you've been a hard worker, and your family must come first. So if the inner voice tells you that's okay, then you know that inner voice isn't from God, is it? Because it's breaking God's command, principle, and example. So the inner voice will never tell you to do something. It will never tell you to disobey a command, never tell you to disregard a principle or an example that we find in the Bible. So we need to be very careful with that. And I would tell you, folks, be very careful with feelings or inner voices, because God primarily guides us through his word. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us in the past, God spoke in various ways, but today he speaks through his son gives us his word. He gives through the apostles, and we have the word of God, and God basically guides us through his word. So be careful with that inner voice. But the inner voice, it can lead you maybe down the right path when it comes to making those better or best decisions. God will also at times guide you through circumstances. There are times we find ourselves in circumstances and we feel like God has put me here for a reason. I really feel like God has done that. And that might be the case. The Bible tells us at times that God opens doors and he closes doors for us. But again, I would warn you, if the door seems to be open, but it's contrary to what the Bible says, then it is not God's guidance. It's not an open door. But God does at times put us in a situation for a purpose. Remember what Mordecai said to Queen Esther when she was in the position to save the Jews? Who knows that you have come to this royal position? In other words, who knows that you find yourself in this circumstance for such a time as this? And the circumstances that led up to Esther becoming the queen of Persia were unusual circumstances. She was an orphan girl, adopted basically by her uncle, and through a beauty contest, she ends up becoming queen, a Jewish woman. They didn't even know she was Jewish, becoming queen of Persia. And now she's in a place where she can save her people. So that circumstance, God put her in that spot. And it may very well be at times that you find yourself in a circumstance that God has let you be there for a purpose. But again, if the circumstance that you find yourself in will lead you to break a command or principle or example that God sends, then God hasn't placed you in that circumstance. It's not God leading. And God will also lead us at times through advice of other Christians. And sometimes here, he actually leads us in the area of commands and principles and examples. Because sometimes we miss something. And somebody who's an older, wiser person might say, hey, in making your decision, you didn't think about this command that the Bible gives or this principle that where God gives you guidance. But a lot of times, the area that people help us in is the area of what way should I go? What decision is better or best for me? And that's why God gives us elders and preachers and Christian friends. The Bible teaches that older women ought to teach younger women and that older men ought to teach younger men. And Proverbs says in chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. So when you have to make a decision, find a Christian who maybe has gone through something like you have, a Christian who is solid, a Christian you can count on, a Christian who has experience. Now, you can always ask your friends, but you need to be careful sometimes when asking your friends. Sometimes friends think they are helping you by simply telling you what they think you want to hear. So I'm not saying don't talk about issues with your friends. I'm just saying check with others also. They may give you advice that leads you back to the Bible. Maybe there's something the Bible says in making that decision that you were not aware of. They might share some facts with you that you weren't aware of that will help you making that decision. They might help you think of the impact the decisions you're making is going to have not only on you, but on others around you. People who make good decisions have good counselors. Again, if your advice you receive is contrary to the commands or principles found in the Bible, it's bad advice, and you should not follow it. It is not God guiding. But God is our shepherd, and if we follow him, he will guide us through these various ways. He will help us in making right decisions. So the question is God your shepherd? Are you letting him guide you through these various ways? If so, the direction your life goes will be the very best possible. So if you're here this morning, if he's not your shepherd, would you make him your shepherd? If you said the Lord is my shepherd, but you're only letting him lead you sometimes, would you change that and let him lead you all the times? That's the very best thing for you. Every service, we give an opportunity for people who haven't accepted Christ to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. The Bible says we become a Christian through faith that leads us to repent of our sins and confess Christ, and then to be baptized into him, to be born again, to become part of his fold, part of his flock. If you need to make that decision to become a Christian this morning, as we sing an invitation hymn, if you come forward, we can baptize you today into Christ Jesus. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.